So how is everyone today?
We're great.
Yeah, doing great.
The people who are with us here in the studio are...
This is Pauline. Happy to be back talking about one of my favorite subjects, travel.
Hello, everyone. I'm Campbell. It's great to be here.
Okay, we're going to talk about something to do while we vacation, aren't we?
That's right. So a lot of times when we travel, we just think about having fun, but we don't actually think about maybe making an impact wherever we go.
But one thing that they say that people like to do nowadays is to make an impact, to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
If you go someplace, you want that place to be different because you were there.
That's right.
Which means that you help it in some way, don't you think?
Yeah, I think that's something that travelers are growing in their awareness of.
Yeah.
And I think it's a really great thing that those of us who have the fortune of getting to travel to other areas really think about the way that we impact those communities and the people there.
Right.
Well, the idea of something positive, the opposite of that is negative, isn't it?
Yeah.
And if you do something that is against the customer, against the people, it will make a negative impact.
Right.
And they will say, oh, look at those people. Look what they're doing. And if you come from a certain country, then you will make a bad impact for your country.
Right.
Or if you're some foreigner, you say, oh, look at those foreigners, how they act.
Right.
So we want to make a good impression. I would say impression is a good word to use, too.
Yeah. So like you said earlier, we want to make the place different after we leave, but we want to make it better, right? We don't want to make it worse.
And sometimes we don't think about that. We just think about, I'm here to have a good time,
right.
So what?
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what we're going to talk about.
Right. I think it's really important that if we are planning vacations, especially to a different part of the world where there's a different culture, that we're going with a heart for learning, with a desire to understand the culture and to be as kind and gracious in the process as possible. And really, I think that is a great deal of the fun of traveling anyway, is learning about other cultures and making positive relationships with the people. So hopefully that's also part of the fun for you, that doesn't take away. It really adds to the experience.
Right. And our article then is under magazine on page 22 today. And it says here there's 7 different ways. And it's good to say 1, 2, 3, 4. Then we can review and we can remember them, don't you think?
That's right. So we're going to talk about 7 ways to do good while traveling. And to do good just means to help out.
So that sounds like it will be a very useful article for us, don't you think?
Yes, useful and encouraging.
So I'm going to have Luke start out by reading the very first section, the first part of page 22, first column, the first paragraph.
Make a positive impact. 7 ways to do good while vacationing. Chances are, if you are reading this, you love to travel. So do we. And when we travel, we like to make sure we leave a positive impact with every stamp on our passport. We talked to a few hotel workers, fellow travelers, and guest house owners about the easiest and most effective ways that you can make a positive impact on the people and communities you visit. While some of them can totally change the way you travel, they don't have to. Some are as easy as saying thanks to those who deserve it. If you want to get your hands a little dirtier in this game of positivity, though, read on for some stellar tips.
Well, it starts out with a phrase that chances are. I wonder if everybody knows what that means.
Yeah, because actually there's a little part that's kind of missing. We say chances are, we're implying that the chances are good. The idea is that the probability is high that whatever comes next is the case. So in this case, it says chances are, if you are reading this, you love to travel. So our author is guessing that you, our listeners, like to travel. She thinks it's a good guess that you probably like to travel. I know that's true for all of us in the studio today.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think another thing you could say is probably.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of chances are, you could say probably if you're reading this. I think that would be another way to say it, wouldn't
it? Or most likely.
Most likely, right. Those are different ways you could say it. Most likely you are reading this because you love to travel. Now, with those of you who are studying in advanced, most likely you're reading this because you want to improve your English.
That's right.
So it might not be because you love to travel. Mm-hmm. But I think many people do love to travel. When I ask people, they seem to love to travel, don't they?
I think most people like to travel.
Yeah. It's fun to explore.
So when she says, so do we, I guess the ones who wrote this and those of us here, I think in the studio today, we love to, don't we? I know you do, Pauline.
Oh, you're right.
So when we travel, then we think about what we want to get out of it. We want to do something there, see something there, but what else should we think about?
Well, it says when we travel, we like to make sure we leave a positive impact with every stamp on our passport.
Every stamp on your passport, what does that mean?
Exactly. So for those of you who maybe haven't traveled out of the country, you may not know that when you leave your country and enter another one, they're going to look at your passport and then they'll put a stamp in it mm-hmm. to show that you're allowed to come into the country. So this is just a more descriptive way of talking about travel and going to other countries. Every time you go to another country, you get another stamp in your passport.
Do you have a lot of stamps in your passport? I think I do.
I'm sure you do. You probably have more than me, but I'm working on it. I'm building up a good collection of stamps.
It's kind of fun to look at it. And then the date is that they stamp your passport.
Right.
And then you can see the date you were there, and you go back, look at it. Don't you think that's kind of fun to have that in your passport?
Yeah, it just becomes kind of a record of where you've been.
Right, the date and everything.
And it leaves a mark. And mm-hmm. so I love the connection here is that as we're leaving a mark in our passport, we also want to make a positive mark, leave a positive mark wherever we travel.
And so according to this one who wrote this article, they talked to some people, and what did they find out?
Well, they just found some different ways to make positive impacts in the community, to be a little more intentional about that. And she's going to share some of those ideas with us throughout the rest of the article.
So how can we make a positive impact on people and the areas, the people, the communities that you visit? Now, some of them, you can actually, this will change the way that you travel. You never thought about it before. It will make you more thoughtful.
That's right. So a lot of times when we go to new places, we don't necessarily know where to go. So a lot of times we kind of gravitate towards what we're familiar with. But today they're going to give us some tips on doing some things that are a little bit different than what we're used to.
One of the things that she does say right here is that some of them are easy when you say thanks. If somebody does something for you and you say thanks, if they help you with your luggage or do something, then they know you appreciate it. And mm-hmm. I think it's always important to say thanks, don't you?
Yeah, and that's a nice example of something that doesn't really take anything away from your experience. You really don't have to change anything about what you're doing.
Right.
But it really does make a difference if you show that you have a sense of gratitude, not entitlement.
Right.
Well, and if you want to do something even harder, and here is an interesting phrase because it says here in line 11, if you want to get your hands a little dirtier in this game of positivity, that's a very interesting way to say if you want to do something that's harder to do. Because
right.
when you do something with your hands, it's usually something that's harder and you get your hands dirty.
Right.
But I think that's kind of interesting the way she wrote it, don't
yeah.
you?
Yeah, I like that phrase, get your hand dirty. We talk about that sometimes with supervisors. We'll say a really good supervisor doesn't just tell everybody what to do. They'll mm-hmm. get their hands dirty. They get involved. So,
right.
She's offering to us if we want to really get involved in this opportunity to care for the cultures and the places that we go and visit, then here are some opportunities to do that.
Well, if you want to do something that's a little bit more, simple, then you have to read these stellar tips. What are stellar tips?
Well, usually when I think of stellar, I think of the stars, right? So stellar things are really excellent. They're out of this world.
So these are some very good tips then,
mm-hmm.
aren't they?
Right.
Top tips, you could say.
There you go.
Right. So that's what we talked about in the very beginning of the article. But now we want to get down to the tips. We want to find out what they are. We're waiting, aren't we?
That's right.
I'm really
What's
excited
the first
to hear.
One?
One, skip most of the big chain hotels and mega resorts. These resorts are notorious for paying the lowest wages in the industry, and They usually ensure that practically zilch of your money is reaching the local community. This means your beloved destination is in no way benefiting from your hard-earned cash. Instead, choose to stay at a locally owned hotel or guest house.
Well, number one says to skip these big chain hotels. What is a chain hotel?
Well, a chain hotel is a brand that is in several locations. You know, I think of things like the Marriott or the Hilton, these big brand hotels.
Mm-hmm. The ones that everybody knows about. And a mega resort is one that has all kinds of things like swimming pools and maybe golf course or bowling alleys, all kinds of things you can do there, right?
Right, they're almost their own vacation spot in themselves. You don't ever have to leave the resort in order to have a full vacation there.
It says to skip those, but, you know, most of us think it might be nice to stay there, but I skip them because they usually cost more money. Mm, what do you think?
True.
They're expensive, aren't they?
They are expensive. So, and it kind of keeps you, especially for the mega resorts, kind of insulated, meaning that you're taken away really from the full culture, and it's all set up just for tourists, which means you're maybe not getting the full experience of actually experiencing the culture and the people. You're kind of having a separate, almost fake created experience for you, which may be what you're looking for, but at least for me, like I said, so much of travel for me is the joy of experiencing the culture and understanding and learning and interacting with it, that I don't want to be pulled away from it.
Well, I think that these resorts are what they say notorious means. Notorious is in a bad way. They're known for the bad things, uh-huh. not good things. And I didn't realize they were thinking this, that they pay the lowest wages in the industry. They have a lot of staff on hand to help you, but they don't pay them very much.
Uh-huh.
So that's not good either. We don't think about that part, do we,
right.
usually?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and it also says not only are the people working there not getting paid very much, but practically zilch, that means almost none of the money that you put into that resort is actually going back to caring for the community.
No, they're helping these big brand hotels instead of the community. But if you help some little shopkeeper, if you buy something locally mm-hmm. or you stay in a smaller place, then you are helping that community have enough money.
And I really love this tip personally because my husband's family has a very small little independent bed and breakfast in Costa Rica. I've talked about that before. Mm-hmm. And I really feel like I've seen that played out when you only have a few employees that, and there's only a few people working, then you really get to know those people on a much more personal basis, and you're really involved in getting to know them and the culture and caring for them, and there's a lot more of a family environment there. And I think as a whole, this is true, that your smaller, independent hotels tend to have a more connected relationship with its employees and with the community as a whole.
Well, it says here that this means that the place that you like to go, you call it your beloved destination. Mm-hmm. You want to go to some resort on the beach or where the sun shines out and so forth. But the people there where you go, they're not benefiting from you going there and spending money. I like the way they call this your hard-earned cash because mm-hmm. most of us work very hard for our money. Okay. We're not millionaires. We have to take our salary and save money to go there.
Right.
And so we like to have the other people benefit when we're there.
Right. Because you're spending the money anyway. Why right. not allow that money to go to people who need it?
So what should you do then, Campbell?
Well, the suggestion here is instead to choose to stay at a locally owned hotel or guest house.
Now, sometimes people don't do that because they don't know what those places are like. They don't know if they're clean. They don't know if they're good. These big hotels advertise that
right.
they're all the same. And so there's a reason for people doing that.
That's true, although I think that's the beauty of the last couple decades of the Internet is that now we have so many resources to go online and check reviews. So you can get a really good feel for what independent, smaller hotels and guest houses have a really great reputation and have a lot of people who have said good things about it as opposed to others that maybe haven't kept up the high standard that you're looking for, cleanliness or friendliness of staff.
That's and true. It's good to look on the web and look up that place, and if people say, oh, it's clean and it's friendly, then you feel better about staying there, don't
right.
you?
Yes.
So you need to know something about it,
yeah,
too.
Definitely do your homework before you travel.
Right. But you don't always want to just go to the big ones that you always know about. Mm-hmm. That's number one. So let's read number two.
Two, eat like a local. We think more than half the fun of traveling is stuffing our faces with local cuisine. So ditch the familiar globalized restaurants and tuck into some street food or a local specialty from a popping spot in town. Tip: if you want to go really local, shop like one. Grab some food at the local market or a fresh caught fish and have your guest house cook it up for you. Many are more than happy to do so.
Eat like a local. Now, especially a lot of Chinese people that travel want to always find a Chinese restaurant. Mm. Well, find a local one if you do.
Yeah.
But it is nice to try the different kinds of food that are specialties in those countries.
Right, and I think this goes back to, again, what we were saying about the big chains. We don't want to just always go to what we're familiar with. Let's explore some new places.
It's interesting the way it says stuffing our faces. She's reading this very, what we could say, colloquial, very right. kind of down-to-earth vocabulary. Mm-hmm. What she really means is eating.
Right.
Stuffing
usually,
your face was
yeah.
eating.
When we say stuffing our faces, it also implies that we're eating a lot with enthusiasm.
Right.
So we think that half of the fun is, you know, doing that, and so you should ditch something. Now, when you ditch something, that's another expression. Expressions here are almost like slang, but they're not quite. They're just common, familiar ways that people talk.
Yeah,
instead
the casual
of
ways of talking that mm-hmm. you probably will come across in the future. You don't necessarily need to use it when you're speaking, but it's good to know what these words mean.
Right, you don't have to memorize them all, but just know that. So when it means to ditch the familiar restaurants, it means don't go there. Cross them off your list, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, toss out that tradition and go to more local places, right? It says here, tuck into some street food or local specialty from a popping spot in town.
A popping spot is also not an expression that people say a lot, or they might say a hot spot, mm-hmm. a well-known spot, right?
Right, exactly. Hopping even sometimes I hear. Mm-hmm. Any of those just have to do with the popularity of a place, that there's going to be a lot of energy in that spot because there's so many people who are excited to go there. And, again, if you stay at a more local, small guest house or hotel, a lot of the people there are going to be excited to tell you about their favorite local places to go that are safe to eat at, that you don't have to worry about getting sick, but have a really nice feel for the culture and cuisine of the place.
So half of the fun of traveling is not just swimming or whatever you're going to do there, but it is trying different food that people eat in that area.
Yeah, so doing more exploration and, going beyond what you're familiar with.
And we know that there are some very well-known places like McDonald's and Pizza Hut mm-hmm. and some of those places. It's nice to go there sometimes, but don't go there all the time.
Right.
Go to some of the local places, and then you can find out what the local people have and what their specialty is. And almost every place has a specialty, whether it's some kind of a meal or a dessert or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Find out the specialties in that area.
Absolutely. And I really love, in the second paragraph, their other tip with that, saying to go shop like a local as well, not just to go to restaurants, but to think right. about what markets are available where you can mm-hmm. discover different kinds of produce, fruits and vegetables, or maybe fish, and then inviting the guest house, if you're at a place where they prepare meals for you, to ask, would you be willing to, cook this fish that I got at the market? That's a whole nother level. And mm-hmm. I do think, for me, one of my favorite things to do in other countries is to go to their markets, even if I don't buy anything, just to see all the things that they mm-hmm. are selling. And then usually I'll at least try a new fruit. You want to make sure you wash it off with filtered water, that you're safe about it. But I do agree, that's a lot of the fun of travel.
Well, it says to grab some food doesn't mean that you pick it up and don't pay for it. You
that's
still
right.
buy it.
Right.
You don't just grab it.
Yeah.
But the idea is to pick up some or to buy some food at the local market, and not just always at the big supermarkets, if they have one. Mm-hmm. Some towns don't even have big supermarkets, right?
And some towns don't have markets, but if they do have one,
most
you should check it out.
Most towns have a market, don't they? Mm-hmm. So you can say to the guest house, well, I just bought this big fish. Let's have it for supper, and they'll be happy to cook it for you.
Especially if you offer to share some. If you bring enough to share, that's even better.
Of course, not just for you, right? They'd be happy to do so. I think that's important. But remember that globalized restaurants are nice because you know what they're like. Mm-hmm. However, eating local is good, but you have to be a little bit careful if you buy things at the night market or local markets that is sanitary and clean, because you don't want to get bad stomach and have problems when you're traveling. Yes. You don't want to be sick.
Right.
So I think it's good to see that the food is hot, that it's clean. Don't go someplace that there's flies on it. And that happens in some countries, you know. So you want to be a little bit careful on local food, don't you?
Yes. Absolutely. I think that's a really important thing to keep
in mind. And don't eat something that you've never eaten before that looks a little bit too strange. May not be good for your stomach. So use a little bit of sense in doing that. But I still think we need to eat a lot of local things. But be careful what you choose, don't you think?
Yes, definitely. Especially with street food, because street food is often not as sanitary as, you know, food from a restaurant.
Sometimes the dishes aren't even washed very well and you get things like that. So they always say that if you take a little hot tea and drink it just before you eat something, then it will help it digest better.
Hmm.
So
good tip.
Tea's good, too.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things we can do, but it's fun to go to the local markets, and I think it's fun to look at them and see all the things that the people are buying, don't you?
I love doing that.
I think that's very important. Well, I think we're going to have time to do number three today. And what is number three?
Three, leave the staff cash tips. Unfortunately, tipping is a no-brainer that often gets overlooked. Even if your bill already includes a service charge, you should know that not all of that is heading for the staff. Sometimes, up to 40% can be taken by the hotel, particularly in these larger resorts. If you can, try to leave it in the local currency so the staff isn't left with exchange fees.
Now, a lot of people don't think about leaving a tip because sometimes there's a service charge. However, I think these small bed and breakfast places don't have service charges on their bill, do they?
Not usually.
No. But we don't think about leaving a cash tip. And that's very important for some of these people. But it says it's a no-brainer. What is a no-brainer?
Well, a no-brainer means something that doesn't require any thought. It's something that is easy to understand or easy to think of.
You don't have to use your brains to know that. It should be naturally thought of, right?
Right.
And in this sentence, it's a little confusing because she says it's a no-brainer, but that it gets often overlooked. So I would say really what she's saying is that it should be a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. It should be something that everybody just automatically does. Exactly. But for a lot of people, they're not quite there yet, right? Mm-hmm. They still overlook it, even though it should be a no-brainer.
Right.
Well, and sometimes on a bill in certain hotels, they will have a service charge.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a lot of that doesn't always go to the staff. So if you want the staff to get it, they say if you stay in some of these hotels or motels, put a little cash on the bed for the tip.
Right. And, you know, I was thinking, I didn't know this about the service charge not going to the staff. And I think in the future, I would also ask the hotel when I see that there's a service charge. I would just ask, you know, is 100% of this going to your staff? And, you know, remember that you have a role in that, that you can be asking those questions and making it apparent that that's what you want your money to go
into. You trust their answers all the time. I'm not sure. Big business, who knows?
That's true, but at least you can do your part to express that that's your desire, and they will continue to hear that.
Well, because it says here that sometimes up to 40% can be taken by the hotel. So, you know, you think they're getting it, but they just get part of it.
That's right.
This says particularly in these larger resorts. So, again, we go back to this idea that especially if you do choose to go to mega resorts or to big chain hotels, you want to put extra intention and effort into making sure those employees who already we said, are notorious for getting very low wages, aren't having then their service tip getting cut in half. So make sure they get a real tip.
Mm-hmm. Well, besides that, if they share it with everybody, maybe yours isn't getting it. So if you give it to that person, you know they get it.
Right, that's right. So I think if you want to make sure if the staff is doing a good job and they're taking care of you, it's important to take care of them a little bit too.
And don't leave it in U.S. or other money. Just leave it in their money mm-hmm. because they don't know how to go and change it, or it might cost money to change it. Mm-hmm. Just leave it in the local currency,
that's
don't
right.
you think?
Yes.
So I think that's important to look at, you know, because sometimes, you know, it makes a big difference. Some of these people get very low salaries, mm-hmm. but they live on the tips.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true sometimes in restaurants, too. I know when I was in high school, I even worked sometimes in restaurants mm-hmm. on the weekends. And I know that the money I got in tips helped to pay for some of the things I needed at school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good point. I think before we travel to any new country, we should look into what the traditions are for tipping. And, you know, sometimes we don't realize what areas of work are depending on tips, and we mm-hmm. might unknowingly offend somebody because we didn't give them a tip, whereas in our culture, we don't give tips for that. So we want to make sure that we understand who is depending on tips from us when we go to different areas.
Well, mm-hmm. any question, leave a tip.
That's right.
Well, we'll talk about more of these tomorrow. That's the three of them. We'll review them and come back to finish and find the rest of them. We'll see you then and make it a positive impact wherever you are today. See you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye.